Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is highly unusual. Okay. We celebrated Easter last week. So Christ is risen. And we're starting the Gospel of John today. And the Gospel of John starts with the Christmas text. So Merry Christmas. This will probably be the first time in your lives where you celebrate Easter one Sunday and Christmas the next. Okay. So this is historic. All right. Two in 1 year, yeah. Two Christmases and two Easters. It doesn't get any better than that, right? A couple things. I forgot to title my sermon. So, Daryl, the title of the sermon is going to be God, Jesus is God. Quite simple. Jesus is God, all right? And this is also one of my favorite. It is my favorite text. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's my favorite scripture, okay? Because you could ponder that forever, all right? And that, obviously, the song we just sung ties right in with it. So praise be to Jesus. Amen? So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is God. Bob Hudley says the Greek term logos, which we translate word, referred to a message, not just a single word. In this context, it is a title which the Greeks used to describe world reason and the Hebrews as equivalent with wisdom. John chose this term to assert that God's word is both a person and a message. With could be paraphrased face to face. It depicts intimate fellowship. It also points toward the concept of one divine essence and three personal eternal manifestations. The New Testament asserts the paradox that Jesus is separate from the Father, but also that He is one with the Father. This verse is a strong statement of the full deity of the pre-existent Logos or Word. Jesus is fully divine as well as fully human. Amen? And I got a little picture. Go to the next one, please. Oh. You're falling behind, Stevie. Go to the there. Just leave that there, okay? That's the divine word, eternal God, come to earth as a baby in a stable because He loves us. Amen? One Christmas, there was a woman preparing for Christmas, and she had a 4-year-old daughter who was always getting in her way. And if you've dealt with 4-year-olds, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And she found herself being short of temper. She said, "Pick up your things. Don't get your clothes dirty. Put away those toys. We're having company." And this continued all morning. So finally she said, "Just go in the other room and play with the wooden manger set." Okay? And the daughter goes and she's playing with the wooden manger set. And all of a sudden the mother heard, "I don't care who you are. Get those camels out of my living room." Isn't that kind of how the world treats Jesus, right? "I don't care who you are. Get out of my life," right? And the reason people are like that, they don't know who Jesus is. That's why this text is so important today, okay? Because we know who Jesus is, right? Excuse me, by the way, we have a Sunday school for the kids, okay? If the girls would like to go back. If they don't, they can stay here, okay? And Cindy, you can take them back, please. Okay. Cindy, if these two girls want to go to Sunday school, you can take them back, right? You want to go? There's other kids back there. No? You want to listen to the preacher, right? I don't blame you. Okay. All righty. People come from miles around. No. It's good that we can laugh anyway, right? Okay. Verse 2, "He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." Spurgeon writes, "He that hung upon the cross was the maker of all worlds. He that came as an infant for our sake was the infinite. How low He stooped. How high He must have been that He could stoop so low. The divine Logos, whom we know as Christ of God. In the beginning was the Word." The first words of this gospel remind us of the first words of the Old Testament. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Even then, the Word was. He existed before all time. even from everlasting. I know not how the deity of Christ can be more plainly declared than in His eternal duration. He is from the beginning. In His glory He was with God. In His nature He was God. As we have been singing, before sin was born or Satan fell, before there was a creation that could fall, the same was in the beginning with God. Now, people say they love Jesus, but they don't like the God of the Old Testament. You can't separate them, okay? Because the Trinity has always ruled God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is a mystery, okay? And who's the eternal Son? Jesus. So He was there in the Old Testament. It's the same God. And if you read the Scriptures, the deeper you go into them, the more you see that God hasn't changed. And unfortunately, we haven't changed, okay? But they've always existed. Before creation, they reign as one God forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think we all know Albert Einstein, right? And this is why one author said he was so brilliant. They interviewed him, and this is what he said. As a child, I received instruction both in the Bible and in the Talmud. I am a Jew, but I am enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. I don't know if Albert Einstein ever became a Christian, but he experienced Christ in the reading of the Gospel. Anybody else ever experienced Christ in the reading of the Gospel? Right? That's why we tell people to start in the Gospels when you start reading, okay? Okay, let me see. And I think I go to the next one, please. Infinite infant, okay? Another word to put that is Jesus is God. Amen? Okay, verse 4. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not yet overcome it. So we realize that, go to the next one, please. Jesus is life now, we realize, okay? Jesus says to the crowds, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. Jesus says to Martha as Lazarus was in his tomb, I am the resurrection and life. Jesus says to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. Eudley says, this phrase is emphasizing that life itself comes from the Son, the Word. John uses the term Zoe. It's too bad Zoe's not here, huh? Okay. To refer to resurrection life, eternal life, God's life. The other Greek term for life, bios, was used for earthly biological life. So the word Zoe is referred to with life in Christ, okay? That's resurrection life, eternal life, God's life. So if we want real life, not just biological life, if we want a full, happy, loving, peaceful, and purposeful life, this life is only found in Jesus Christ. We were created to live in relationship with God, but we rejected Him. Now God has restored us back into relationship with Himself through the eternal Son, Jesus Christ. So are there other ways to heaven? No. Only Jesus Christ. Go to the next one, please. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Amen? There was a beautiful cathedral in a Swiss village, a remote Swiss mountain village, and it was called the Mountain Valley Cathedral. And it had high pillars, and it had the tall ceilings and stained glass, and it was beautiful. But what really made it stand out, it had a beautiful organ that people could hear all through the town when it was playing. And the music was renowned. People would come just to hear the organ, okay? Well, as time passed, the organ didn't sound good. So they had to get it fixed. So they called in all these workmen to try to fix it. And no one could fix it. So they had to stop playing the organ. Until one day, an old man came in, And he said, "Why aren't you playing this organ?" And they told him, "Well, it sounds terrible now, and we can't get anybody to fix it." He said, "Oh, let me try fixing it." So for 2 days, he's working on it without saying a word, and people are getting worried. They said, maybe he's messing it up more than helping it. But on the third day, throughout the village, they heard the organ, and it sounded more beautiful than it ever had before. And people started walking to the cathedral to hear the organ. And there was the old man playing the organ. And they asked him, they said, "How come you were able to fix the organ and nobody else was able to?" And the old man said, "It was I who built this organ 50 years ago. I created it, and now I have restored it." And that's what Jesus has done for us, right? He created us, and now He has restored us. And nobody else can restore us. It's only Jesus Christ. Amen? Verse 6. There was a man... Can you see why I like this text so much? He doesn't mince words, right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. And I love this picture. This is Jesus' baptism. And the heavens were torn open, is what Mark says in his gospel. They were torn apart, ripped apart. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus without measure. But when we get baptized, it's just a symbol, right? No, that's a joke. Okay, all right. Because the heavens are already torn open for us, right? When Jesus was crucified, the curtain of the temple was torn open, right? But John makes it clear that John the Baptist was just a man. The Baptist is not the Messiah, but came to witness Jesus, who is the light. And don't we live in a dark world? We all got COVID. We got violence, murder, riots, drug, sex trafficking of children, war, and the list goes on. And the darkness is getting darker, right? But God in His great love sent the Lord of light and love into the world. There are many of us here who have gone deep into the darkness, and we don't want to go back. But upon receiving Jesus, our lives become light. Everything changes. Everything changes. And John the Baptist simply pointed to the light. That's all he did. He pointed to Jesus Christ. And friends, that's what our job is. We're to point to Jesus Christ. We simply point people to the light. One of my core foundational verses, and it actually defines who I am and what I do, is John 1:23. And I think you're preaching on it next week, or am I? Yeah, you're preaching on it. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." That's all we're supposed to do. You want to know what a pastor is supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to do. That's our prophetic role, okay? Does the world need the light of Christ? Yes. Illustration, there was a frog, and his boss gave him a day at the frog spa. So he went to this frog spa, okay? Oh, go back. You can't show that yet. Okay. Go back. Okay. Just keep it there for a minute, okay? So the frog's name is Maurice. So he goes to this frog spa. And there's a frog outside saying, "Look, this place is dangerous. Turn back now." And he held up a sign, "Don't jump on the bandwagon." He was protesting out in front of the spa. And he said, "Heck, my boss, hey, I'm going to go to the spa." Okay, so he goes to the spa, and he had a bacon and cheese covered flies, and a cola. He shoved in his hand and was given a fluffy robe that smelled like exotic spices, but felt good on his skin. They put open toed sandals, on his feet. I don't know why I'm reading this. And led him to a big room with a TV. He sat down in the big room on a cushy lily pad and his favorite soap, Hopera, was on. Days of Our Flies. He was really enjoying this day. After Days of Our Flies was over, Maurice the Frog decided to hop over to the snack bar since he was still hungry. It was a buffet. What a place. After he was done eating, he was full, and he could see outside the gates of the spa. The protester was still out there. He was saying, "Get out. The end is near. Come with me and be saved. Pay attention and get out now. Come this way." It wasn't long before a bell rang, and all the frogs came to this pool. It was a metal pool with water in it and a diving board. And they all dived into it. And it was kind of warm and it felt good. And he was really relaxing. Okay. It felt really good. And then the temperature, he noticed the temperature was increasing and he was sweating a little bit. Okay. But he just sat there and they were all starting to kind of fall asleep. But the protester was still there. They could see him outside the window, and he said, "Get out. The end is near. Come with me and be saved. Pay attention and get out now." Well, he was comfortable, and he said, "Well, maybe I should get out." It was starting to get kind of hot, so he started to get out. But the spa attendant said, "No, no, no. Stay in. Stay in." So he stayed in. Okay. Now it was starting to get pretty warm, but he was starting to fall asleep. And all the other frogs were starting to fall asleep in the pool. And all of a sudden, the protester cried out again. He said, "I've witnessed this before. Come follow me now. You will only live if you come with me. I can show you the way. Don't croak in here." Some of the frogs didn't listen, and they stayed in there. But a few frogs, like Maurice, jumped out, and they worked their way past the spa attendants. And right after they left, Maurice started to think, "Well, maybe my boss didn't like me, okay, because he sent me to the spa." But then the spa attendants, he noticed, they dumped butter, Cajun spices, diced onions, green bell peppers, garlic, salt, cayenne pepper, and chopped up celery, tomatoes, and a whole bunch of rice. And all the spa attendants called out at once, in a Louisiana Cajun accent, which I can't pronounce, okay? "This is going to taste so very good, we guarantee it," okay? The other, Maurice and the frogs who jumped out got away to safety, okay? They got a little way from the spa, and the protester turned around to go back to the spa. And they said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going back to lead others out. I am the one who points the way to life and safety and salvation." So now you can go, okay? There you go, all right? So our job is to be like that protester. And don't people get comfortable in our culture? There are many people being lulled asleep in our world by Hollywood, the media, and our culture. But the truth remains that they are living in darkness and headed for destruction. Eventually, Jesus will return. And for those in darkness, they're going to find themselves in a gumbo, right? We will be raised to light and eternal life. They will rise to judgment and destruction. Brothers and sisters, we've experienced the light. It is our mission to point others, okay? We don't just come here to feel good. Do you see the urgency here? There's people dying without knowing Jesus Christ. We need to get out there. And not just the pastors, okay? Verse 9, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." Now, even though Jesus created the world, when he entered the world, the people did they accept him? No. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, if a person without sin, who was had selfishness or wasn't selfish and not evil, if a person like that came into the world, a person who was filled with love, joy, peace, patience, and self-control, what would the world do to him or her? We tear them apart. We tear them apart. Or crucify them. And that is exactly what Jesus' own people did to him. Do people receive Jesus today? Yes, but mostly no, right? What are their excuses? They don't have time. Any others? Don't want to change. What's that? Comfort. Might make me uncomfortable, right? Okay. I want to stay in the gumbo pot, right? What's that? I'm a good person, right? And what about, what's that? I can't be forgiven, yeah. And how about those Christians? They're all hypocrites, right? I don't want to be a hypocrite, all right? Or how about this one? I don't like organized religion. Friends, that's an oxymoron, okay? That means it doesn't exist, okay? So there's no such thing as organized religion, okay? Or how about this? I don't believe everything is black or white. I believe there's a gray. Don't we hear that a lot? Well, there's a gray area. There's a gray area. Pastor Troy Boris wrote this regarding a gray area. I don't want you to think I am making light of anything here in Scripture, but just the exact opposite. You see, we have a human tendency not to see our spirituality in terms of black and white, but rather gray. Our entertainment is now reflecting the shift, and we have a muddying of the moral waters into gray. Lucifer was his own TV show where he's the good guy, 2015 to the current. There was a show about a good guy serial killer, Dexter, 2006 to 2013. Netflix has a film where Jesus is gay, 2020. One of the latest Star Wars movies has the hero stating the good guys have to go away to make way for the middle ground, 2017. The Terminators are good guys in 2009 and 2015. Amazon Prime has a show where an angel and a demon have to be friends to save the world, Good Omens, 2019. The reality of life that the Bible presents is not gray. Morality is not gray. Good and evil are not gray. There is not wiggle room between what is right and wrong. Sometimes I wish the morality and character of God presented in the Bible was gray because it would make many things so much easier. The truth is, reality presented by verses like John 1, 4 through 5 is that there are indeed two sides in physical life, morality in our spiritual lives. Goodness and light stays in its lane. One side is light with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Evil and darkness stays in its lane. One side is dark with immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness, and the like. So do we want to live in the light and life? Or do we want to fall asleep in the darkness? Will we accept Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 12. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. In Jesus, we are children of God. That's the good part, right? Go to the next one. There we are. That's amazing grace. All right. In Jesus, we are children of God. All right. It never ceases to amaze me how unconcerned and unknowing people are about eternity. People are only concerned when death is imminent. Then they will listen to us. But why put off life? This is the good news. When we accept Jesus, we get life. We get abundant life. God sent His Son, Jesus, the eternal God in flesh, to give us life. When we accept Jesus and live in a relationship with Him, we receive life here and now and forever. And this is what Christianity is about. But we must be born again. Born of God. And we were taught we're not supposed to talk about that, right? That's true. Okay. Back in cemetery, they told us not to. But you have to be born again. Jesus said that, right? Charles Spurgeon says, we must be born again from above. The Holy Spirit must, by His divine energy, enter into us and make us new creatures. For such a heavenly birth is essential to eternal life. There's an essential for you, okay? Now, if I may say so, faith is the heaving of the spiritual lungs. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you are a living person. You have been born, not of the will of man, but of God. In Jesus, we receive new abundant life, and we become His children. C.S. Lewis said, "The Son of God became a man so that men may become sons of God." In Jesus, we are children of God. Amen? Everybody repeat after me. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Amen. All right. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The eternal God has put on flesh, died for our sins, and rose from the dead to bring us back to God. Jesus is God. In Jesus we have life, light, grace, and truth. Jesus is life. We are now children of God when we live in Christ and He lives in us. Friends, where else on earth can we get life, light, grace, and truth? Where else? Only in Jesus. It only comes in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Do we believe it? Do we receive it? Somebody testify. We're going to sing that later, okay? But there's another picture. Go ahead. I love this picture. So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And He is, isn't He? Amen. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for You are love and You are God, Lord. We thank You for entering this creation, Your creation, as a baby, Lord, and growing to a man without sin, without any sin, to be the perfect sacrifice to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. And then 3 days later, You rose from the dead so that You could restore us back into a relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank You for the life You give us, Lord. You give us life and purpose, and we thank You for that. You give us a life worth living. And this life goes on forever, and we thank You for that, Lord. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we are Your children and that we can call You Father. A loving Father, a perfect Father. We thank You, Jesus, for saving us. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.